When we picture a bank robbery, we usually think of like a very fixed target.
Right. Yeah, like a physical building.
Exactly. There's a vault, there's a heavy metal door, and the criminals have this very specific static plan to break in. It's really just a game of geometry and timing, you know?
Yeah, they know exactly how thick the steel is.
Right. And how many minutes they have before the alarms trigger.
Because the variables are relatively fixed. I mean, the vault certainly doesn't change its shape while you're drilling into it.
No, definitely not.
And the blueprints of the building don't just, rearrange themselves while the criminals are standing in the lobby.
But imagine if the vault actually did change. Or, well, more accurately, imagine if the criminals trying to break into your bank account could instantly change their disguise, their tools, and their entire strategy the absolute microsecond they noticed a security guard looking in their direction.
Which is terrifying, honestly.
It really is. But that is the reality we are living in right now. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are dissecting an incredibly eye-opening article from FinCrime Intelligence about a massive shift in how criminals steal and launder money.
And it's a shift that is fundamentally breaking how financial institutions and, frankly, everyday people protect themselves against digital theft.
Yeah, and that is exactly our mission today. We are going to explore how artificial intelligence has enabled what are called polymorphic attacks.
Which is a term that has completely evolved.
Right. It used to just mean shape-shifting computer viruses. But today, it refers to entire financial crime campaigns that mutate in real time.
It's a total game changer.
It is. And whether you are working in corporate finance, building the next big tech platform, or you're just a person trying to keep your own hard-earned bank account secure, understanding this new machine speed threat is the ultimate shortcut to being well-informed on the future of digital security.
Absolutely. This knowledge completely changes how you will view your own digital footprint.
Okay, let's unpack this. Where do we even begin?
Well, the best foundation here is to clearly define the leap from mere automation to true adaptation. We are all highly familiar with automated attacks,
Oh,
right?
yeah. Anyone with an email address has seen the terrible spam emails.
Exactly. The obvious phishing attempts, the random texts pretending to be the post office with a weird tracking link.
The classic Nigerian prince who desperately needs my routing number to unlock his millions. We all know the drill at this point.
Right, we do. And that is traditional automation. It is essentially just a numbers game.
Just blasting it out there.
Exactly. But this analysis highlights that the cybercrime ecosystem has, well, it's moved entirely beyond that.
Into this polymorphic territory.
Yeah. Historically, in the cybersecurity world, the word polymorphic described a piece of malware that would automatically alter its underlying code to dodge a firewall.
More like a virus scanner, right?
Right, it was changing its digital signature so the antivirus software just wouldn't recognize it. But now, thanks to the integration of generative AI, that principle of polymorphism of shape-shifting has jumped out of the code itself.
And into the real world.
Exactly. It's being applied to human behavior and the entire life cycle of a financial crime.
So it sounds like traditional automation is a spam cannon, firing the exact same fake email at 10,000 people, hoping one person clicks.
Spot on.
But this adaptive AI is more like a chameleon. It sends out 10 different emails, monitors which specific psychological hook gets clicked, and instantly transforms all future emails to match the successful one.
What's fascinating here is that this feedback loop makes the fraud faster, cheaper, and infinitely more scalable.
Because it's learning as it goes.
Exactly.
Right.
And the AI doesn't even need to be perfect to be devastating. A scam campaign that used to require, manual scripting, language translation, document editing, a whole room full of people pretending to be customer support that can now be generated and localized instantly.
Wow.
And if an AI agent tries a specific conversational script on a victim and the victim gets suspicious, maybe they ask a clarifying question, the AI can instantly generate a new, highly tailored counterargument to keep the victim on the hook.
So the campaign continuously changes its visible form based on the resistance it encounters.
Exactly right.
That completely changes the paradigm. But to really grasp how these adaptive networks function, we need to trace exactly what an attack looks like in the wild.
Right. We need to see the mechanics.
Yeah, the source material outlines an 8-stage attack chain. But rather than just listing them off, let's look at how this unfolds for a hypothetical target. Let's say our target is David, a mid-level manager in corporate treasury.
Okay, good example.
It starts long before anyone tries to guess his password, doesn't it?
It does. To see why this is so devastating, you really do have to walk through the mechanics. Stage one is reconnaissance and target selection.
Right, the scoping out phase.
Exactly. The AI isn't just randomly guessing emails. It is aggressively scraping public data, scraping previous data breaches, analyzing David's social media.
Just pulling everything it can find.
Yeah, and mapping his professional networks to infer relationships. It knows who his boss is. It knows what software vendors his company uses.
That's unsettling.
It is. It even knows he just came back from a conference in London, for example.
So by the time we get to stage two, which is personalized social engineering, the AI is armed with context.
A lot of context.
It isn't sending David a generic, please reset your password link. It is tailoring the language, the urgency, and the tone specifically to him.
Exactly. It might mimic the exact writing style of his CEO, referencing that London conference and asking for an urgent invoice to be paid to a known vendor.
Wow. And that level of personalization drastically increases the success rate for stages 3 and 4, which
yes.
involve gaining access and manipulating the account.
Because David doesn't even realize he's being manipulated.
Right. Once David is tricked into handing over his credentials or authorizing a device, the criminals are in. But stage 4, account behavior manipulation, is where the polymorphism really shines.
This is a crucial point. They don't just smash and grab the money the second they get access.
They methodically warm the account.
Exactly. They want to alter the digital environment without chipping the bank's alarms.
Right, because a sudden massive transfer is a huge red flag.
Precisely. And the mechanics of how they do this are incredibly sophisticated. For instance, they use residential proxy servers.
Meaning what, exactly?
Well, instead of logging into David's bank account from a known data center in another country, which would immediately trigger a fraud alert, the AI routes the login traffic through a compromised device in David's own neighborhood.
Wait, really? Like his neighbor's computer?
Yeah, or maybe his neighbor's poorly secured smart fridge or an internet-connected thermostat.
Oh, my God.
To the bank's security system, the login IP address looks like it's coming from right down the street.
So then they slowly update his contact details or add a new payee to the account and just let it sit there.
Right, they let it simmer.
They might even make a few tiny, legitimate-looking transfers to build a history of normal behavior for that new payee.
Exactly. They're building trust with the algorithm.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If the attackers are doing all this extra activity inside the account, you know, changing contact details, testing small payments, bouncing between devices, routing through smart fridges, shouldn't that create more noise?
You would think so.
Yeah, I would think that all those extra steps leave a massive digital footprint that makes it much easier for a bank to catch them.
The logic there is sound, but the attackers are brilliant at camouflage. They understand the bank's detection algorithms better than the banks do.
Which is a scary thought.
It is. They deliberately spread this noise out over time and disguise it as legitimate customer friction.
Customer friction? Like what?
Well, people genuinely forget their passwords all the time. People buy new phones. People travel and log in from new Wi-Fi networks.
Right. That happens every day.
The AI spaces out these anomalies so they just look like the normal, messy digital life of an average human being.
Wow.
And that camouflage perfectly sets up the later stages, payment execution and moving the money to mule accounts.
Which is stage 6.
Yeah.
And then comes stage 7, which is layering.
Right, the money laundering phase.
For anyone not deeply embedded in anti-money laundering, layering is essentially the process of washing the money. The criminals don't just send the stolen funds to one account and withdraw it, right?
No, that would be too easy to trace.
They move the money through a complex web of transactions, jumping across international borders, frequently converting it into cryptocurrency, and breaking it into smaller and smaller pieces.
Because the entire goal of layering is to completely sever the trail back to David's original treasury account.
And that leads directly to the final, and really the most critical, phase of this polymorphic chain: detection, feedback, and mutation.
Yes, this is where the AI proves its worth. Throughout this entire 8-stage process, the AI is monitoring what works and what gets blocked by the bank's defenses.
But how does it actually do that? I mean, how does the AI know why it got caught?
By using the bank's own infrastructure against it.
What do you mean?
Well, when a transaction fails, it doesn't just quietly fail. The bank's system usually kicks back a digital error code, an API response.
Like a specific decline message.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It might say something like, error 403, transaction velocity exceeded, or declined, unverified device.
Okay, I see.
In the past, a human fraudster would see a decline and just move on to the next victim. They wouldn't analyze it.
It wasn't worth their time.
Right. The AI, however, ingests that specific error code as training data.
Oh, wow.
It instantly learns, okay, I triggered a velocity rule. Next time, I will space the transactions out by exactly 45 minutes instead of 5.
It rewrites its own operating script on the fly.
In real time.
That is paradigm shifting.
Hmm.
It is literally using the bank's own defense mechanisms as a syllabus to teach itself how to be a better criminal.
It's a continuous learning loop.
Which brings us to the big structural problem for financial institutions. If the criminals are continuously learning and adapting, why are the defenders failing to see the big picture?
It basically comes down to a massive control mismatch.
Explain that.
Well, the attackers are fluid and dynamic, but financial institutions are largely stuck in rigid, isolated boxes. Most financial crime controls still rely heavily on static rules.
Give me an example.
A classic example is a rule that flags any transaction over $10,000 for review.
Ah, right. A threshold that every criminal on earth is fully aware of.
Precisely. So the adaptive AI simply splits the fraudulent payment into 3 separate transactions of $3,300 each.
And the static rule is instantly rendered useless.
Completely useless. The defenders also rely heavily on typologies, which are essentially profiles of known criminal behavior.
Like a signature.
Right. But the very nature of a typology is that it is backward-looking. It only describes an attack that has already happened.
Right.
By the time a bank writes a new rule to catch yesterday's scam, the AI has already ingested the failure data and morphed the scam into a completely new shape.
It's like trying to navigate a sprawling city using a map from 1995 while the roads are actively being repaved and rerouted underneath your tires.
That's a great way to picture it.
But beyond the static rules, the real vulnerability highlighted here is how these institutions are structured internally. The silos.
Yes, that is the critical weakness. In most large institutions, you have a cybersecurity team, a fraud team, and an anti-money laundering or AML team.
And they're kept totally separate.
Right. Historically, they operate in completely separate lanes with different managers, different software, and different objectives.
It sounds like a hospital where the ER, the lab, and the pharmacy refuse to look at the same patient's chart.
Exactly.
The ER sees a fever, the lab sees a weird blood cell count, and the pharmacy sees a prescription request, but nobody realizes the patient has a systemic infection because they outright refuse to share their notes.
That is a perfect parallel. The mechanics of financial institutions operate the exact same way.
How so?
Well, cyber team sees a weird login from a new device, but because no money has moved yet, they log it as a low-level anomaly.
Right, nothing to worry about yet.
Then, maybe 3 days later, the fraud team sees a customer authorizing a payment to a new vendor. They view it purely as a transaction, completely unaware of the cyber manipulation that happened prior.
Because they don't see the cyber team's alerts.
Exactly. Finally, the AML team down the line just sees funds moving into a known mule account, but they lack the context of the initial phishing email and the device swap.
Nobody sees the connected polymorphic campaign because they are all looking at isolated symptoms.
They're completely blind to the larger campaign.
And to compound this, these banks update their detection models on incredibly slow cycles, right?
Oh, painfully slow.
We are talking about governance boards and testing phases that take months. If the criminals are operating in hours or even minutes, and a bank takes a fiscal quarter to update its detection models, isn't it mathematically impossible for these static controls to ever win?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, yes. It is fundamentally impossible to win a machine speed war with manual periodic updates.
It just doesn't compute.
The analysis makes it very clear. Traditional static controls are still necessary. I mean, you still need to catch the lazy, unsophisticated criminals.
Right, the low-hanging fruit.
Exactly. But they're completely insufficient on their own against an adaptive AI threat. You cannot fight dynamic math with static math.
So if static rules are mathematically doomed, how do organizations fight back? What is the actual blueprint for defending against a threat that constantly changes its shape?
The overarching shift required is moving from appearance-based detection to behavioral detection.
Let's break that down. What does that mean in practice?
It means defenders need to stop asking, does this ID document look fake? Or does the wording in this email match a known scam template?
Because the AI can just fake that flawlessly.
Exactly. The AI is simply too good at faking appearances now. Deepfakes and generated text can easily pass appearance checks.
Right.
Instead, defenders have to ask, does the behavior surrounding this transaction make sense for this specific customer.
So if I'm understanding this, an isolated event isn't the problem. It's when you cluster these red flags together that the picture comes into focus.
Yes, the clustering is key.
Like a new device login on its own isn't inherently suspicious. I buy a new phone, I check my balance, that's normal.
Totally normal. But a new device, combined with a sudden change in your contact email, combined with a newly added international beneficiary, combined with an urgent attempt to wire out 80% of your total account balance.
Yeah, that's a different story.
Right. That cluster of behaviors equals massive risk.
You're putting the puzzle pieces together in real time. And to get that context, banks have to implement what the source calls cyber fraud AML intelligence fusion.
Exactly.
They have to break down those internal silos we talked about. The ER, the lab, and the pharmacy have to share the chart.
They absolutely must. A cyber alert about a compromised password has to instantly inform and elevate the fraud risk score for that user's next payment.
You have to see the whole attack chain.
Yeah, and they have to apply this to the Mule accounts as well through Mule Network Analytics.
Meaning they look at the wider network.
Right. Instead of just looking at one suspicious account receiving money, they need to analyze the network topology. Do these 50 different accounts all share the same device ID? Do they all log in from the same cluster of residential proxies?
Oh, wow.
You look at the flow patterns and the shared infrastructure, not just the individual nodes.
In doing all of this requires a massive shift in leadership perspective, doesn't it?
A huge shift.
Senior management and corporate boards have to stop treating financial crime like a minor IT problem or just a compliance checklist?
It's an existential threat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They need to treat it as a core strategic risk. They shouldn't just be measuring how many alerts their system generated this month. They need to measure their adaptation speed.
How fast can the bank mutate its own defenses when a new polymorphic attack appears?
So what does this all mean? It sounds like banks need to stop looking at a single snapshot of a transaction and start watching the entire movie of a customer's behavior.
Yes, the movie is a perfect way to describe it.
Right, because if you only look at one frame of the film, you see a guy handing over cash to a teller. It looks totally fine. But if you watch the whole movie leading up to that frame, you see the three guys standing just off camera holding the script he's being forced to read.
This raises an important question, and it is one that anyone listening who works in a corporate environment, runs a business, or manages a team needs to ask themselves. Is your organization stuck in the snapshot era, relying on static rules and isolated departments? Or are you moving toward movie analytics?
It's a critical question.
It is, because I can assure you, the attackers are already directing the movie.
That is a phenomenal way to frame it.
Mm-hmm.
To summarize this massive shift we've been unpacking, financial crime is no longer about static, automated scripts.
We have entirely left that era behind.
We really have. We've left the era of the Nigerian prince sending a million identical emails. We have entered the era of AI-driven, shape-shifting campaigns that adapt in real time, using our own defense mechanisms to train themselves to be better.
It's terrifying, but fascinating.
It really is. And to survive this, organizations have to tear down the walls between their cyber, fraud, and money laundering teams and focus intensely on behavioral intelligence rather than just looking at isolated data points.
They have to build an adaptive defense model that matches the exact speed and flexibility of the threat they are facing.
And for you, the listener, whether you're managing a corporate treasury, building software, or honestly just trying to navigate your own personal inbox, this knowledge equips you to look at your digital footprint with a much sharper, more critical eye.
You have to stay vigilant.
Absolutely. The next time you get that urgent email from your boss or that weird verification text about a package delivery, remember that there might be a machine speed learning loop operating on the other end, testing your reactions and mutating based on your response.
And that leads to a final thought worth pondering as we wrap up.
Let's hear it.
We've discussed in depth how criminals are using AI to adapt their attacks and how banks absolutely must use AI to adapt to their defenses. But if you play that out to its logical conclusion, a new reality emerges.
Well, what's that?
What happens when a fully autonomous AI-driven criminal campaign directly encounters a fully autonomous AI-driven defense model? Could we soon see invisible financial warfare playing out entirely machine versus machine, adapting, mutating, and counter-mutating in milliseconds, operating completely beyond human comprehension or our ability to intervene?
Wow. That is an incredible concept to leave on. A silent hyperspeed war happening deep inside the servers while we go about our daily lives. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. And next time you think about digital security, remember the vault doesn't just need thicker steel walls anymore. It needs to know how to change its locks the very second it realizes it's being watched.